The meeting open. All councillors are there except Councillor Elliott. Yep. Thank you. I'd firstly like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people, who are the traditional custodians on the lands on which we meet today, and I would like to pay respects to their elders past and present and extend their respect to any other Indigenous Australians who are present. I'm just going to read public conduct at meetings. All members of the public present at the meeting must, not without prior approval of the chair, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs. Remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with another person present. Be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting if you're going to make a call, please. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for such period as the chairperson decides. And this period may include future meetings. Now, we have a leave of absence for Mayor Williams that a leave of absence be granted for Mayor Williams, who is currently meeting with the Minister in the city. Moved Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Gleeson. All in favour? Thank you. That's unanimous. This is a bit of a by note on that one. Our Mayor is up there meeting with the Minister trying to lobby for further funding for North Stradbroke Island. So we wish her all the best with that one this morning. It doesn't look like our pastor has... They're running late, but we're already up to there. So unfortunately, this morning we'll have to move forward without that. But it does give me great pleasure because we've got a recognition of achievement today. Brenton Hills. Is Brenton... Come on down. You can stand here and... listen to all your accolades. Brenton Hills started in Council in 2016 as a trainee in Human Resources, completing a Certificate 3 in Business through Maxima Group Employment earlier this year. Brenton knew that he would have some additional obstacles to overcome through the traineeship due to his lifelong challenges with cerebral palsy. Throughout his traineeship, Brenton's confidence improved while tackling both the physical and mental barriers his disability caused him to face. Brenton completed his traineeship in March 2017 and was successful at being recruited as a casual employee here at Redland City Council. In recognition of Brendan's completing a traineeship with a disability and with such determination to pursue his goals, Brenton was recently announced as the winner in the Queensland Government, South East Queensland Training Awards 2017 in the category of Equity Vocational Education and Training VET Student of the Year. This particular award was for recognising a trainee who demonstrated outstanding achievement in overcoming a significant barrier or disadvantage to effectively participate in vocational education and training. An excerpt from the award submission stated, "Brendan knew a qualification and work experience were vital for finding employment in the current job market. Supported by family and his supervisor, Brenton stepped out of his comfort zone and overcame the challenges associated with cerebral palsy to pursue his goals. Undertaking a business traineeship with Redland City Council has improved Brendan's confidence and given him valuable skills and experience." And I think I might add there, I think you've added to Redland City Council as well, young man. "As a regional winner, Brenton will now compete at the Queensland State Training Award Finals in Brisbane on the 1st of September 2017 under the Equity category. On behalf of Council, we would like to congratulate Brenton on his successful completion of his traineeship and the outstanding achievements so far, and I'd say the inspiration to all of us, and we wish him all the best at the Queensland Finals in September."
Can we walk down here and we're going to get a photo? You've done very well. I'd just like to say Brenton on the night looked just fabulous. He outshone his father and all of us around. His glow was beautiful. It was just an absolute pleasure to be there. Brenton, you did us really proud. It was great.
It's lovely to meet the calibre of our youth. Now, Linda has just popped in, so can I change the order of business so we have our devotional... Do I have to move a motion or is that... No, Linda, come on down, please.
Apologies for being delayed.
Councillor Gleeson, can you please keep to protocol?
Am I supposed to push something?
You're right. You're on.
Yep. I'm on?
You're on.
Excellent. Sorry, I'm filling in for my husband who's unwell in bed, so here we go. So I thought this morning that I'd actually share a little bit in regards to persistent and perseverance. And when I think of... Sorry?
That was very fitting after...
Oh, yes. Congratulations. It's so wonderful seeing people achieving things. I think a lot of the time we look at people achieving things and we say, oh, how good is that? But we don't actually see what has gone on in the time preceding their achievements. I mean, Michael Jordan did the great quote in regards to all his failures and, you know, he was able to finally succeed. And when we have a look at everybody who's actually succeeded in life, it comes down to that perseverance and persistence and knowing in ourselves. To our own self be true, knowing that the dream that's placed inside of us, that we're doing what we're able to do. You can't please everybody all the time, and not everybody's right. And sometimes our opinions are actually based on our perceptions, and we're not always privy to all the information for us to actually be able to draw our own opinions. And so in that persistence, if we actually be true to our own selves when we're running our own personal race in regards to our dreams. I look back when we first came and moved to the Redlands in 2001, and at that time we had a dream to make a difference in the lives of young people and for this great city of ours. And in that, you know, other people would perceive that we may have been doing the wrong thing or perceive that we're this or perceive that we're that. But then 16 years on now, being a member of Redland City Council, being a member in the Redland City, and actually having a fully functional church of over 180 people and managing a community centre out there at Redland Bay that's impacting thousands of people and managing a social enterprise business that actually funds the free community service that we provide and bringing in nearly $600,000 a year. So back then, based on a dream, based on our own self be true, because we believed in our heart that we wanted to make a difference, there's been many obstacles. Many things that have at times, you know, made you feel like it's not going to work out or made you question, is it actually really worth it? You know, when you're juggling jobs and families and bits and pieces. But in our own persistence and being true to our own selves, we can't please everybody. Not everybody is right. But if to our own selves be true, at the end of the day, nobody's going to stand beside you when God measures you to see what you've actually done with the life that he's given you. So I would encourage you all today to think back to the dream that has been placed in your heart, because we all have one, whether you acknowledge God or not. God has placed a dream inside every single person, and it's to our own self be true. And through that perseverance and keep on going no matter what it is, that the obstacles that come across your path, then the outcomes and the achievements are seen and acknowledged, and we can continue on making a difference for this fantastic city that we live in. So again, I do apologise for being delayed, But I think that you guys, I think that you guys do an amazing job. I love the city. I love being a part of making a difference in the lives of these people. Some that just need a voice of encouragement, some that need a shoulder to cry on, some that just need to be believed in. And again, so people, to your own selves be true and continue on with the dream that's placed inside each and every one of your hearts. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Linda.
That's great. Awesome.
Thank you. So we'll go on to number five, receipt and... Oh, I'm sorry, I've got that mentioned here too. Yep.
Thank you. When we look at the places that stand out in Australia, we're usually drawn to major attractions or events. And in the Redlands, we've got attractions and events. But to me, the thing that stands out is our can-do attitudes, where even the smallest of businesses in the Redlands can make a contribution that collectively make the Redlands a place to be. This morning, I'd like to recognise a small island business that punches above its weight and adds to the value of the whole of the Redlands. On beautiful Maclay Island, located on an eastern beach, is an outstanding bed and breakfast called Yarrandabby Dreaming. The owners, Trevor and Yvonne Holbert, operate an upmarket bed and breakfast. With its beachfront location, swimming pool, spa bars, and in-house bar and restaurant, Yarrandabby Dreaming offers everything in luxury accommodation. In only 7 years of operation, Yarrandabby Dreaming is an international award-winning retreat, winning TripAdvisor's 2013 and 2014 Certificate of Excellence, and TripAdvisor's Green Leaders Gold Awards in 2015, 2016, and now recently the 2017 award. This is a rare achievement and demonstrates that a small accommodation business can stand out and make a difference. Trevor and Yvonne, collectively with other outstanding small businesses in the Redlands, help make our city a place worth visiting. Most of Yarrandabby Dreaming business is with international tourists who rave about the island and the hospitality. And I find it's a real shame that most Redland residents have never visited our southern Moreton Bay Islands, and I think they're missing out. We don't need to look for places afar when we have gems like this within our own city. So I'd like to congratulate Trevor and Yvonne for a fifth consecutive award, and I hope they continue to promote Redlands in their exceptional style. But just as a side note, I note that bed and breakfast operators have to go through a number of food and safety training activities with council. They have to have fire evacuation plans. They come under a whole range of compliance requirements, and they pay annual fees to operate. Year on year, bed and breakfasts have costs and compliance requirements for councils to ensure their business is safe and responsible. But I find it concerning that we have a proliferation of other B&B operators, such as operating through Airbnb, who don't seem to be subject to these same requirements. And I'd like to think that as councillors, we should look at this and address some equity in the market. But I'd just like to thank Trevor and Yvonne for their outstanding work.
Sorry, my pen has just decided to leak everywhere. Not what you need, but I agree with Councillor Edwards. The Southern Moreton Bay Islands certainly are a gem, and we recently went over there and had a barbecue on one of the beautiful beaches. And like Councillor Edwards, I would say anyone who hasn't gone to the Southern Moreton Bay Islands, pop over there because they definitely are a secret gem. So thank you for that, Councillor Edwards, and congratulations to the business. We will now go on to receipt and confirmation of the minutes of the general meeting held on the 9th of August 2017. Be confirmed. If I can have a mover and shaker. Mover and second, please. Bit of rock and roll still in me from the last night. Redfest launch. Thank you, Councillor Mitchell. Councillor Hughes moved it. Councillor Bishop seconded it. All in favour? Unanimous, thank you. Matters outstanding from... Oh, Councillor Elliott is still absent from the room. Matters outstanding from minutes of the previous general meeting. I've been advised there are nil. Public participation, if we can have a mover and seconder, that the meeting adjourns for a further 15 minutes public participation segment to allow members of the public to address council on matters of public interest related to local government. Moved Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Hughes. All in favour? Unanimous. Councillor Elliott is still out of the room. Before we begin, I've just got to read this information. You may have noticed that signage in the chambers regarding public participation at meetings. It is Council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. This information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at Council's administration building and published on Council's website. I also advise that the meeting is being recorded in audio, video, and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that this recording video may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing a meeting will state their name and suburb or organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about, stand unless unable to do so, act and speak with decorum, be respectful and courteous, and make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. Give priority to members of the public who have made written application to the CEO to address the meeting. Determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak at the time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, dependent on the number of speakers, and withdraw the. And I also have the approval to withdraw to address council if the time period has lapsed. Debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this hearing at this time. We also have a hearing loop. If there are any speakers who are hearing impaired, please wait in your seat and we will bring the microphone to you. And please stand if possible. Now, Yvonne Beckett. Thank you, Yvonne. If you'd like to come forward, Yvonne is from the Moreton Bay Combined Island Association regarding Rocky Point boat ramp infrastructure. Before you begin, Yvonne, please state your name and suburb or organisation you represent, and then begin when you are ready. Yvonne has given out some information to all councillors, which has already been distributed. Thank you. Alan, could you assist?
Out and our manifesto. MBCIA has combined with all legitimate groups at public meetings and are members of these groups being Chamber of Commerce, Tourism, Conservation and Rocky Point Boating, Fishing and Camping Club. We thank the President of Rocky Point Boating Club, Keith Mills, who's behind me here, who assisted in obtaining signatures. He is present. Involvement and working with these associations is helping MBCIA with the planning of our inaugural MBCIA Simbi Dugong Classic event in early October 2018. The event will involve all Simbis with contestants participating in kayaking, running and cycling. MBCIA has met with Cameron Costello at the recent Stradbroke Island transition event, and he wholeheartedly supported combining our tourism and sporting event following on from the Condamooka Festival. He's even offered to put something in his booklet about it next year, about our event. The reason Mrs. Margaret Kemp started this petition for Rocky Point boat ramp infrastructure is to showcase the need and get action for a secondary evacuation point from the south end of Russell Island. Please see the ask the Redland City Council. It's their... Thank you. Disaster Management Plan. And at one page of that, it points out the necessity of a Rocky Point boat ramp. Mrs. Margaret Kemp has collected over 1,000 signatures for this petition. The land on which Rocky Point is situated is owned by the state government, and maps show it is designated as a landing. The Redland City Council own adjacent land suitable for vehicles and trailers. The petition was delivered by Margaret to the Redland City Council on Monday this week, and Southern Moreton Bay Island's very respected councillor, Mr. Mark Edwards, will present the petition to Redland City Council today. Councillor Mark Edwards is a past president of MBCIA, and as part of his election promises, he is presenting this petition for the residents of all the islands and the users of Moreton Bay's beautiful waterways. Now, this is the actual petition that has been delivered to Mark Edwards, and this quick message has been written by the collector of the 1,000 signatures, Margaret Kemp, who's behind me today. On behalf of the Russell Island community, the Southern Moreton Bay Islands Tourism Subcommittee, Rocky Point Boating, Fishing and Camping Club and the Moreton Bay Combined Islands Association, we would like to present a petition of 1,061 signatures requesting the installation of much-needed boat ramp infrastructure at the southern end of Russell Island at Rocky Point. The boat ramp access at Rocky Point would provide the Russell community with use, exercise and enjoyment of various watercraft activities surrounding the southern waters of Moreton Bay. Many boat owners and skippers from the Royal Queensland Yacht Squadron have added their signatures to the petition as they utilise the Canipa Club landing on Russell Island. The Russell Island Redland City Council Emergency Plan, as I said before, states that a secondary evacuation area is needed for the southern end of Russell Island. In the event of a major fire restricting access at the north that is rapidly spreading southward, a Rocky Point boat ramp facility would provide for timely evacuation of people and property, plus vital secondary access for additional firefighting personnel and fire transport units. Existing unsuitable Wahini Drive Eastern boat ramp would not provide safety in such an event, nor would it provide swift evacuation, nor provide swift additional firefighting access to and from the mainland. Investigations undertaken in a recent year provide that Rocky Point is suitable for a boat ramp facility and construction estimates to be an economical $1 million. We have a brochure here put out by Redland City Council. I'm sure most of you will have seen it. And there's actually a photo here on section 12 of the old Rocky Point jetty where ferries and goods ferries used to come in to Rocky Point. So it is suitable. There's still a big log still there down at Rocky Point from the original jetty. A recent meeting was held with the Assistant Minister for Queensland Transport and Infrastructure, Mr. Glenn Butcher, explaining the request for the Rocky Point boat ramp. The Minister stated he will visit Russell Island within 2 months. The Russell Island community asked that the Redland City Council please write to the State Government Minister for Transport and Infrastructure to confirm and arrange this visit. A meeting with Mr. Damien Walker, Director General, Department of Tourism, Major Events and Small Business and Commonwealth Games, resulted in Mr. Walker requesting to accompany Mr. Glenn Butcher on his visit to Russell Island. The Rocky Point ramp petition will also be forwarded to the Queensland state members and, if necessary, federal government. The Rocky Island community considers this an urgent matter and is relying on Redland City Council's full support and necessary funding. Island living requires multiple connections to the surrounding bay. Thank you. Deputy Mayor, could I please, when Councillor Edwards hands the petition over, have a photo of that handing over at some stage, please? Thank you. Thank you very much. Pardon?
Don't sit down, it'll be shortly.
Oh, I want to go in it. Mark's prettier.
Thank you. Now, we were told that two other people were going to speak today. I can't see either of them in the gallery. Was there anyone else wishing to speak? Okay. So can I have a mover and seconder, please, that the meeting proceedings resume? Move Tracy, Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Mitchell. All in favour? Thank you. So now we move on to petitions and presentations. So, Mark, would you like to move your motion and get a seconder, please?
Yes, I have a petition received from the residents and others requesting that Redland City Council and the Queensland State Government replace the existing dangerous, inadequate Russell Island Rocky Point launch site to current marine standards. And I move that the petition is of an operational nature and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for that? Councillor Golay? All in favour?
Speak to the motion.
Yep.
Speak to it. Thank you. For those that are not familiar with Russell Island, the distance by road from the northern end at Kniper Point to the southern end of the island is 11 kilometres by road, or 8 kilometres in a direct line, and that's about the distance from Cleveland to Sheldon. The community at the southern end of Russell Island have no local access to a constructed boat ramp, with the closest being Midway on the western side of the island, or at the northern end around the ferry terminal. There is no made boat ramp on the eastern side or the southern side of the island. Rocky Point, on the lower eastern side of the island, has been used as an unofficial access point for tinnies at high tide. However, it is unsuitable in its present form to cater for larger boats or as an all-tide access point. Construction of a ramp at this point is logical, as it is road access, and it is in a populated area. There is an absence of mangroves. The sea floor is firm and rocky and is the closest point to the mainland. More importantly, it would provide a strategically important southern access point in case of emergency access or departure is required. Now, all foreshores and waters in Redlands are under the control of the state government and not council. State also provides funding for marine infrastructure projects, which is raised through boat registrations and similar fees. I'm pleased to see that this petition has been lodged with the Minister for State Development, and I would support the state being proactive with this request and engage with council about its delivery.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Yvonne, would you like to quickly just duck forward and have your photo taken then with Councillor Edwards? Thank you. I'm just going to put that motion. I apologise, Mark, Councillor Edwards, I didn't realise you were going to speak to it and I did it out of order. So we'll just put that just to be seconded or to be... Can you move it again and we'll do the vote again?
Yes, I move that the petition is of an operational nature and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
Thank you. A seconder for that, Councillor Mitchell. All in favour? Thank you. And Councillor Golay and Councillor Elliott are absent. So we'll move on to number 10, material personal interests and conflict of interest. And councillors are reminded of their responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting. A summaries of the responsibilities are included in the agenda. And reports to council, organisational services. 11.1.1, July 2017 monthly financial report. I'll get a mover and a seconder. Move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Bishop. Councillor Mitchell, did you want to speak to that? I know the CFO is here.
Yes, very briefly. Just like to move... item 11.1.1, July 27 monthly financial report. Just note the purpose of this report is to note the point of time in our financial results of the 31st of July 2017. Just for some of the KPIs, being the first month, aren't looking on our scorecard, aren't looking quite as flash as that we would expect. And I just thought I'd ask through the chair to have our CFO comment on why that may be so.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, thank you for the opportunity to talk to the Financials Councillor. As you point out, this is for July, so the first month of the financial year, so it's very early days, and Council's still looking to finalise its previous financial year process. So opening balances are still moving as we go through our end-of-year accounts finalisation. As at the 31st of July, we've got seven KPIs that have met or exceeded the target and four that have fallen short. Two we're quite familiar with. We know from the adopted budget that the operating surplus or the deficit ratio in this case and the asset sustainability ratio, but there's probably two that need a little bit of discussion to ensure that there's understanding. The first one is the level of dependence on general rate revenue. We've seen this before, councillors, where when we levy the rates, the accounting standards allow us to put that revenue into our statement of comprehensive income, so that's actually breached the target there, and that's not unfamiliar. So when we levy the rates in July, that's mean that we've breached that. We deem that to be quite a stretch target of 37.5, so we've gone over that one. The other target that has gone out in July is for the debt servicing ratio, and that's because we have an agreement with the Queensland Treasury Corporation that Redland City Council prepays its debt annually in the month of July, and the result of that is that we'll actually pay off our debt 12 months in advance. So it's a good news story long term, but what it means for the month of July is that we breached that internally set target. Happy to take any questions or explain further.
Are there any speakers for comment? Councillor Edwards?
Yes, I think as we've seen year on year that the first 3 months of reports are required before we actually send any valid trend lines taking place. So I anticipate that next month will be similarly not confused, but doesn't paint a correct picture based on past years.
Comment, Councillor Elliott? Question, yes?
Through you to the CFO. With that, and it's history, and Councillor Edwards is quite correct, but are we better to not just have a monthly report unless we need it? And our first report's three monthly, that way we've got, because these look, I don't want to say dodgy, but, you know, they're all over the place. And if it's not for 3 months, really, you know, people doing a lot of work to tell me nothing. You know, not solid figures that you do it on the quarter. You know, do the first one on the quarter. I'd be happy with quarterly reports. I think that's an organisation. If we're down to monthly, it's not like we're hitting the bottom with the cash we've got. Those sort of things. Just consideration, you know, budget deliberation or whatever, we can have a chat about that.
Thank you, Madam.
If you want to speak to it, yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, it's a great question, Councillor Elliott. Unfortunately, the legislation requires us to table a monthly financial report, so the Local Government Act says that we have to table one every month. So that's what we do. So it's certainly at a point in time, as Councillor Mitchell talked to. But we're happy to change the style of the report. If there's too much information or too little, you might notice that we've enhanced it a little bit for this financial year, as we do each year. But we have to table one to meet the requirements of legislation.
I'd just like to congratulate the finance team on the current reporting, because I think it's giving a greater deal of accountability and transparency and explanations and information, not only for councillors but for the public if they have, you know, want some extra bedtime reading. So thank you, Deb. Back to you, Councillor Mitchell, if there's no further. Yep, back to you.
Thank you, Deb. Me. Yeah, no, I think that's been wonderfully summed up by everyone. And if we have a monthly report, but perhaps, yeah, each quarter we pay that little extra attention as the trends become apparent. So, yep, with that, and also thanks to Deb and the team as usual. So happy to move on from there.
All in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. 11.1.2, carryover budget review. Can I have someone move and second that one, please? Oh, Councillor Mitchell. And a seconder. Oh, Councillor Golay. Councillor Mitchell, would you like to speak to that?
Oh, very briefly, Deputy Mayor. Just to again outline, this report outlines the items requested be carried over from financial years 2016-17 into current financial year and presents the proposed revised budget position of Council. It also updates the key financial ratios within the reports and the submissions. So, yeah, but it's all in the report. Happy to move it.
Are there any speakers? Any comments? Deb, would you be able to give a brief overview? Oh, sorry. Would I be able to ask you to give a brief overview just about the carryovers and how that works?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, every year Council sets a budget, and this year it adopted the 17-18 budget on the 26th of June. Following the closeout of the financial year, officers across the business look at projects of a capital nature that didn't close out on the 30th of June, and those that are material that Council has asked us to progress are proposed as a carryover. So Council will note in the financials that there's absolutely no change to the operating statement, no impact whatsoever, but it's carrying over that capital. So in the order of $13 million, that's previously been asked of the business to deliver, and it's purely a timing difference. So ELT has reviewed it, peer reviewed on the 31st of July, and then Council workshopped on the 9th of August. Happy to talk to anything further, Madam Chair.
Thank you. If there's no further discussions, I'll... Have you got a discussion there, Councillor Elliott? No? I'll pass back to Councillor Mitchell.
Yes, happy to move the motion. Item 11.1.2, the 2016-17, 2017-18 carryover budget review be accepted.
Thank you. All those in favour? Unanimous. 11.1.3, approval of the asset management governance model. Can I have a mover and seconder, please? Move Councillor Golay, seconded Councillor Bishop. Councillor Golay, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. I'd like to move item 11.1.3, approval of asset management governance model. The purpose of this report is to formally present to Council present for Council endorsement of the asset management governance model, and to note the report of Kellogg Brown and Root Proprietary Limited, short KBR, commissioned to assist Council in becoming an asset-centric organisation.
Thank you. Are there any speakers for the motion or comments for the motion? Yes, Councillor Bishop.
Yes, I'd just like to acknowledge that one of the measures that we often refer to in our financial reports is the asset sustainability ratio, and it gets discussed and contested as to whether it's a relevant measure. What this is doing is part of a broader body of work that officers are doing across the entire organisation, is bringing in an asset management framework to look at all of the things that Council owns and therefore how it manages those to maximum positive effect, so that infrastructure, service delivery, management, operation can be planned for, delivered in the most expedient, efficient and effective way. It's a body of work that has required some significant work on behalf of KBR to put this report together. I know there are some findings in the report that will take time for the officers to address and integrate, but it is a big ongoing body of work that is critical. So I just want to acknowledge that ongoing work. And I just want to mention a tiny point. I understand that it's a tiny point. When I first read it, I thought it was a big concern. And it's just referring to the first paragraph talking about the purpose of this report is to formally present to council for council endorsement the asset management governance model and to note the report of Kellogg Brown and Root Proprietary Limited commissioned to assist council, and this is the bit that was concerned to me, in becoming an asset-centric organisation. I know that that's actually, we council is going to continue all of the other centric things, like looking after our community and so forth, and all of the day-to-day operations that council does, which are wide and varied, but that comment relates specifically to this project. It is important to the organisation, so I had some concerns and they were alleviated yesterday, as I just wanted to make sure we weren't going on a big philosophical shift to somewhere where assets were the only thing that we thought about, but people still matter, so it's good to know that is continuing. Thanks.
Is there a speaker against, or would you just like to say comments? Yep, I had Councillor Hughes first for a comment and then Councillor Edwards.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. This report that we've received from KBR is excellent. We've spent a lot of time going through this. We understand the asset management and how important it is to us. It is one of our priorities. I'm disappointed in the officer's recommendation in the point two, the second word, I, to note the asset management centric organisation report. I think the report deserves more than noting, and I've shared my thoughts with our ELT yesterday, and to our Chief Executive Officer, I'd seek comment on that. I'd like to see a little bit more than note. I know that this is going to come back to us. I understand there's time constraints. I understand it is a priority. We've done about 6 to 7 workshops on this. We've included 12 to 15 of our key staff and our ELT. There is a lot of work gone into this report, and I look forward to a little bit more. Noting it doesn't seem appropriate. It just needs a bit more in my mind.
Can I ask the CEO to address, because this concern was spoken of yesterday, and the report certainly is getting given the strength and respect that it deserves. So I just ask the CEO to respond, please.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Hughes. Noting the report is a terminology that I think is probably stronger than just receiving the report. There's a lot in it. There are resource implications in the report, and to accept all the recommendations in a report without a more thorough examination of the budget implications, which there are in this report, would probably be imprudent at this stage. In the recommendation is the role for myself and obviously the team to consider the resource implications for embedding the functions into council. This is a very long-term program. We've got some years to go in terms of becoming an asset-centric organisation, acknowledging Councillor Bishop's comment about the word asset-centric, which is really about how our assets, and we've got community equity in the order of $2.5 billion across this city that is there to serve the community. So I think the long-term nature of the project and the resource implications means that noting it is stronger than receiving it. We've got a lot of work to do.
Councillor Edwards, comment?
Thank you. I think it's important to understand that this organisation has over $2 billion worth of assets. Now, if that's managed correctly, as far as maintenance, replacement or obsolescence where it would no longer require it, we prepare ourselves a path that we can manage it and improve our assets and grow our assets. If it's not done well, it could be a huge cost to council. We could be faced with replacing assets before they're required, or assets failing when we should have provided for them. For me, the KPI is irrelevant, has been relevant. It's just a number picked out of the thing. This is where it all happens. This is what we need going forward. And to me, for us to have the right plan and management of it, admittedly it's going to take a few years to get everything right, this is the importance of looking after our $2 billion plus worth of assets. And I'm good to see it's come around. There's a lot of work gone into it, and I'm certainly going to support it.
Any other comments?
I also would like to echo Councillor Edwards' words and thank the officers for their work. As the CEO and Councillor Edwards has said, there's over $2 billion worth of assets, and I don't think the community quite realises how much council does have in maintenance and renewal. And then, of course, it also affects our depreciation, and depreciation is a huge headache for local governments, and we're handling ours as best we can, but it makes a huge dent in our overall bottom line, doesn't it? And the CFO is teaching us all that. So with this asset management plan moving forward, it is such a positive and constructive step towards our sustainability. Thank you very much to all the officers, as well as the consultants who've done a great report, as Councillor Hughes has picked up. And so moving forward, it's going to be a great for our financial future. So well done, team. And I have now forgotten who moved that. Councillor Gollay, back to you, sir.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I don't think there's anything else to add.
Thank you. So we'll put the motion. All in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. 11.1.4, the 2017 Local Government Annual Conference and Redland City Council motions. Now, I did advise yesterday... Oh, it hadn't been changed. Sorry, you mustn't have got the message, Liz. Yeah. Councillor Mitchell will be accompanying the Mayor. We don't need to put his name in there at this stage, but if we're happy to do that. Can I have a mover and seconder for the motion? Thank you. Move, Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Tolte. Councillor Bishop, did you want to speak to that?
Only to say that the Local Government Association of Queensland is an important opportunity for councils and councillors to express views, explore what are the patterns going on in other communities. There are many challenging issues on the rise, and it's good to hear councillors who haven't been before going along and bringing back some of the information that they receive. So I just endorse councillors' attendance and know that there are some important motions that are put forward there that make an impact on us all. So just support this.
Yep. Is there a speaker for or any comments? No. I'd just like to also add Councillor Mitchell hasn't been to one before, and I think it definitely is a worthwhile experience, and I'm very proud of the two motions that we're putting up again. The community residence one is one that we have been putting up ever since 2013, and we're slowly chipping away at the state government to get better outcomes there when you have the whole local government association behind you, and that's what our delegates do other than going to forums and networking. The whole Queensland councils are there, and they get support behind individual councils' motions, so it gives it a lot more strength. So I'm sure you'll benefit greatly from accompanying the Mayor on this one. So with that, I'll put it back to Councillor Bishop to put the motion.
Nothing further to add. I'll put the motion.
Thank you. All in favour? Unanimous. Right, 11.1.5, the Operational Plan Quarterly Performance Report. Can I have a mover? Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Seconder, Councillor Hughes. Councillor Bishop, would you like to speak to that?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just moving item 11.1.5, the Operational Plan Quarterly Performance Report, and just noting that this is an update of how the corporate plan hits the rubber hits the road, and the various projects that are taking place across the city. It's good to see many of them on track. I'll just note that there's a change in relation to one relating to SLSQ on North Stradbroke Island, where some plans were intended to go in one direction, but some decisions were made and communication seemed to be a little bit... what's resulted now in that project being cancelled, which... more information coming on that to clarify how that's all occurred, but it's great to see happening. Thank you.
Is there a speaker for
or a speaker against the motion, or any comments? No, with that then, I will put the motion. Or those of you, you didn't want to sum up or anything? No? Thank you. All in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. 11.1.6, report of the Audit Committee. Can I have a mover and seconder for that one, please? Move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Bishop. Councillor Mitchell, would you like to speak to that?
No, I think this one's all in the report, just probably to restate how important our Audit Committee is in the good governance and transparency of the organisation, and to sit in on the Audit Committee meetings are a privilege, and you certainly learn an awful lot about the internal workings and all the checks and balances that go on in our day-to-day good management and governance. So thank you. With that, I'd happy just to put the motion.
Is there a speaker for or against the motion? No comment? Okay. Put the motion. All in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. On to 11.2, Community and Customer Services. 11.2.1, decisions made under delegated authority for categories 1, 2 and 3 development applications. Can I have a move? Thank you, Councillor Hewlett. Seconder? Councillor Hughes. Councillor Hewlett, would you like to speak to that one?
Thank you, Madam Chair. 11.2.1 is just decisions made under delegated authority for categories 1, 2 and 3 development applications.
Is there a speaker for or against or any comments? No.
Just move the motion, it's just for noting.
Yep. All in favour? Passed unanimously. 11.2.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters, as at the 9th of August 2017. Can I have a mover and... Oh, yes, Councillor Hewlett.
Happy to move 11.2.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters, list current as of 9th of August 2017.
Yep, and a seconder, Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to that, Councillor Hewlett?
In fear of upsetting Councillor Hughes, this is only to note as well, so...
Okay.
I'd like to move the motion. Thank you.
All right. We'll put the motion then. All in favour? Thank you. 11.2.3, 70 to 92 Muller Street, Redland Bay, exemption certificate. Can I have a mover for that one? Thank you. Councillor Tolte, a seconder. Councillor Edwards. Councillor Tolte, would you like to speak to that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a matter that's been waiting for some time for mapping changes through minor planning scheme amendments, which has been held over. So this is a way of managing a situation where people have been able to purchase blocks of land at Redland Bay but have not been able to apply to build their houses on them because of the delay in waiting for those changes. So it's fairly much a housekeeping matter, and we need to move forward to allow those families to get their homes built. So I'd like to move the motion as put in the on the board.
Is there any speaker for or against or comments on this? No. I was just going to give a little bit further explanation on that in case there are some questions. So when the subdivision has already been done, the operational works are already there, but some corners of some of the blocks actually are still in the open space. So it's just tidying up the actual boundaries of this. The actual subdivision is, you know, already there. So I'll pass back to Councillor Tolte.
Put the motion, thanks.
Okay, all in favour? Passed unanimously. On to 11.2.4. Exemption certificate again for 100 to 102 Kinross Road, Thornlands. Can I have a mover and seconder, please? Councillor Tolte, a seconder. Councillor Mitchell. Councillor Tolte, would you like to speak to this one?
Thanks, Madam Chair. It's in the report. It is basically the same as the previous matter because of delays in planning scheme amendment changes. The developers have asked to move forward through this instrument. It's much of a muchness. Thank you.
Thank you. Any speaker for or against? I'll go back to Councillor Tolte then.
the motion. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All in favour? Passed unanimously. On to infrastructure and operations. 11.3.1, sole suppliers for infrastructure and operations, operational requirements. Can I have a mover and... Yes, Councillor Mitchell, thank you. A seconder. Thank you, Councillor Hughes. Councillor Mitchell, would you like to speak to this?
Yeah, just brief explanation. Comes around each year. The purpose of the report is to seek Council's resolution to enter into contractual arrangement with various suppliers where normally we might go out to get various written quotes and tenders, but where there is some specialist activity and limited suppliers, we have a list that we go to, and that needs to be endorsed each year.
Thank you. Are there any speakers for comment? Yes, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Through you to our manager, Peter Best. I'd just like to ask about the rigour of this. This is not... I understand business as usual. I understand the sole supplier, one, two, three, all of that. It came through last year and again this year. But do we really look at this every year, or is this just a rollover? Thanks.
Through you, Deputy Mayor, to the Councillor. It's not a rollover, Councillor. This list is reviewed during the year. I've asked and forgive me, I've probably got the wrong title for it's the leader of our procurement group to work with my group managers who have put this list forward during this year to look at the utilisation, how often we go out and procure from some of these companies. And we'll review that through this year before we come to Council next year with a similar sort of proposition.
So if there's no further discussion, I'll go back to Councillor Mitchell.
No, happy with that. Great explanation. Happy to move the motion. 11.3.1, sole suppliers for infrastructure and operations, operational requirements.
Thank you. All in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. On to 11.3.2, Corporate Policy, POL 3119, Community Infrastructure Program. Can I have a mover and seconder for that, please? Move, Councillor Hughes, seconding Councillor Bishop. Yes, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Moving 11.3.2, Corporate Policy, Community Infrastructure Program. The policy number is POL-3119. Thank you. We need a seconder now.
Paul did second. I was just coming back to you so you could speak to it if you wished.
Yes. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. There has been several workshops regarding these policies and guidelines. I'd like to thank Peter Best again, our General Manager, Infrastructure and Operations, for leading this discussion. It has been at some time a little tense, and we've worked through that, so thank you. A little? Just a little. It has not been as smooth sailing as some of us would have liked, but we've had to work together and come to some agreement on this one. Thank you.
Are there any speakers for the motion? Against the motion? Question? Yes, Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Hewlett.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Okay, so can we talk about amounts in this? That can be done, can't it? It's within the policy. So, yeah, okay. So the amount is for each councillor on the discretionary funds is $100,000 each.
It's not discretionary.
Well, it's not discretionary, rather. It's not discretionary anymore. And we're 2 months into the financial year. Can we find out how much has been committed for each division? Can that be done? We're only 2 months into the financial year, so surely those figures are readily available for this morning's meeting.
It doesn't apply now, does it?
This policy is only applying from now going forward, Councillor Gleeson. And that's a question the officers would have to take on notice.
Okay.
Councillor Hewlett, you had a...
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not going to support this today because I've argued the case before. I don't think the funding is great enough for the individual divisions. particularly in the southern part of the city where there's much infrastructure needed, and I've had projects pushed out time after time after time, and I'm sick of fighting to try and get things in the CapEx. At least the previous amount given by the previous CEO gave me some sort of surety that I could deliver some projects in my city without having to try and send 1,000 emails to different departments to get it. Like, I know that's supposed to be changing, but my faith is little at the moment. If it proves to be okay, I'll support it next year. Thank you.
Comment, Councillor Bishop?
Yes. I think interpreting what Councillor Hewlett has suggested there, that there's some other way around the architecture of the way that government functions that might be more ideal is exactly why this policy is important. It is important that planning and infrastructure, whether it be divisional or across the city, is integrated in a way that ties into what we've discussed previously as the report for asset management. And I think this, after a ridiculous, I need to acknowledge that there was a ridiculous range of discussions that were broad and I think sent signals to the organisation that were not helpful. But I think this is the first time when we've been able to actually have a policy which gives certainty to the officers and to councillors about a way forward. And I think that our attention as individual councillors and across the city is to ensure that our 10-year capital planning ensures that essential infrastructure is managed in a way that is timely, and where there are opportunities, where things come to the surface, this amount at least gives us some ability to look at where that 10-year capital expenditure might be brought forward. And that's what this is intending to do. It's about a strategic alignment, and fully support how this will help the organisation and the officers to allocate appropriately. And knowing that there are emerging issues and projects, I think it's important that we make a clear distinction between what might be seen as pet projects. It is not discretionary, and this policy makes that quite clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. And then Councillor Golay, comment.
Thank you. I'm going to support the policy because the policy in itself I have no problem with. I think what we're dealing with is a legacy of a previously unstructured policy where there was an expectation from councillors of being able to provide a vast range of infrastructure over the next 4 years, and in good faith, many councillors have engaged with their communities and worked out forward planning based on those expectations. And politically, it leaves a lot of us exposed in the fact that now we have to redress what we've those discussions. But this policy is absolutely important because we don't have the financial capacity in the organisation to deliver what we thought we had to deliver. I'm not going to place the blame at the feet of anybody. I mean, we should have all probably said this seems to be too good to be true, and generally in life that is. There's no such thing as a free lunch. But that is the legacy of what's happened has actually put every councillor in this room in a difficult position, which we've got to manage. And I've started to go to my community and now withdraw from some of those expectations. And that's what we have to manage. This should have been put in 12 months ago before we had. So I'm supporting that. But I think I just want to just put it out there that if we could turn back time, we probably all would have done it.
Thank you, Councillor Golay, and then Councillor Mitchell.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just to clarify, we have no discretionary spending under the Local Government Act. And my understanding of this process of bringing it forward from the past CEO was almost a manner of goodwill so that divisions could bring projects forward. But we also have a responsibility as a board to look at our financial position and be a little bit frugal with our spending. And I think the current ELT have done a great job to actually negotiate through the minefield that was left on the table. I'm quite happy with the policy. I'm quite happy with the amount that's been discussed. I think through some solid planning, between councillors and ELT. If we do a business plan for what it is we want, we can secure further funds for our area just by negotiation. I don't think this is the end of the world for the divisions. I think the officers have done a great job to get where we're at. I think it was irresponsible from past to promise the amounts that were promised, especially when we hadn't even sort of gone down the road of reviewing the budget to see what was actually available to provide to divisions. And I seem to recall one of the comments made was, don't go out and promise your residents a whole bunch of projects. It was pick one, do it well, and get it across the line. So we have to be a little bit responsible in our position as well.
Point of order, Councillor Hewlett.
That information is actually incorrect.
Understanding orders, which point of order are you raising, Councillor?
The information you're providing to the Chamber or the Council is incorrect. That's not what was said.
Well,
I don't know whether it was said to you in a meeting, Councillor Golay, but would you just like to withdraw that comment and then continue, please?
It was put to me in a meeting, and it was, and I would only assume then that it was put to all councillors. But at the end of the day, we do have a responsibility. We've got residents who are saying, look, the rates are going up continuously. What are you doing? What do we get for our money? We can't just sort of keep going on a trail of promising expenditure that we don't have the funds for. So I think this is a good approach. We're putting some governance around it. Everyone will get an equal share of the pie. And if you've got a business case, bring it forward. I'm sure that through approval and negotiation, we can bring more funds towards projects if needed. Thank you.
Councillor Mitchell and then Councillor Hewlett. You had your hand up again. Oh, Councillor Elliott.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Yes, so to quote firstly Cher, if we could turn back time, that would be lovely. And also Wayne Bennett, all you get looking back's a sore neck. So I think with those two wonderful philosophies there, I think this policy I'll be supporting. And remind councillors that our first obligation isn't actually to our divisions. While we should all support our divisions quite vehemently, but our first obligation is to across the city. So to worry about our own divisions is perhaps not our first obligation, and we just want quality assets in the right spot at the right time. So I think whatever amount of money and whatever project comes up, it needs to be with those principles overarching. So I'll certainly be supporting the policy.
I'll just let Councillor Elliott go because you've already had a turn, Councillor Hewlett, and then we'll come back to you. Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Chair. Look, this is timely. I've seen this happen twice. The last time it happened was when Susan Rankin was the CEO, and it was only $100,000 she put in front of each councillor. So when you wave a million in front of each other, we tend to go berserk. The offer was put there, and this councillor did what he normally did, spoke to the appropriate officers, put things in train, and those things play out. I could have a big whinge every day about the rigour of the Capital Works program. I have great confidence in Peter Best. I've known Peter Best for 20-plus years as a general manager. That's where it fell down. It should have been in the Capital Works program, not to hush money to keep some councillors happy, and this whole capital works.
Oh, really?
No. Okay, I withdraw that statement.
There is a point of order.
He has already withdrawn it. Thank you, Councillor Gleeson.
It's about you can't have, and Councillor Edwards alluded to the. I'm sorry.
Councillors, can we all please show the respect that this chamber deserves as our position as councillors, representing our communities in here? And Councillor Elliott, will you please continue, but you have withdrawn your comment.
I have withdrawn the comment, yeah, and I apologise to the chamber for that. It was uncalled for. Councillor Edwards was quite right. It was financially unsustainable. I could see that from there, but, you know, you're not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. And General Manager Best has brought back at 100,000, as good as it gets. And really, if you've got confidence, and some of us struggled in the past for confidence in the Capital Works program, that it needs to go around. And I made that comment at, that we need to be aware that other things, yourself, councillor, had expectation, big expectations in the Capital Works program which weren't met. For consultation we were doing and things like that. So as long as the Capital Works program is robust, and the 100,000 will be fine, because years ago I was more than happy that outlying areas like the southern ones, like we got 50 grand in those days, that if they needed 100, they needed 100. I didn't need it. 50 grand was fine, as long as the Capital Works program worked. It worked. And once we've got confidence in that, it should roll out, and the 100,000 is for the little bits and pieces thing. I don't have a problem. Years ago, it used to be $5,000. Anything more than $5,000 came to council. So it was discretionary below that, but now it's the whole lot. Don't have a problem with that. This will work well. It's just a year of transition, that's all.
Councillor Hewlett.
Thanks, Deputy Chair. I just wanted to clarify that when we allocated that funding, all I'm, as a councillor, I only brought forward stuff that was in my CapEx that just kept getting pushed out. I wasn't doing any blue sky mining. I was just providing
point
stuff.
Madam Chair, speaking to the motion.
I'm just clarifying it, Councillor Talty. I'm not saying anything wrong. So all I'm saying is there's an implication that we went out and looked for new things to provide. I was just going to the CapEx and bringing forward things that I had in my CapEx that were being pushed out year after year. So I was trying to bring those forward, which is what I viewed that particular funding for. So just make that clear. I wasn't going out and saying I want some...
Clarified your point. Thank you. Any other comment? In summing up, Councillor Hughes, you had a comment?
No, I'll sum up.
Oh, okay. I just before you sum up, I'd just like to say councillors represent the whole city, and we all know our own patches, you know, passionately, but it is the whole of city. And as the whole of city, we have to look for transparency and accountability in all our transactions, and we have to have a policy before we go ahead with things. So those guidelines, the charter, the scope of whatever that project is all included, and we know where we're heading. The officers have done that. And we've now got this policy, and going forward, we're going to have that transparency and accountability, which perhaps wasn't there before, which is what always happens if there isn't a policy. So going forward, I think it'll be positive. Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just that word policy that you were just sharing, I'll read, provide a fair, equitable and transparent process to deliver community infrastructure outcomes to the Redland City community. I think that sums up all of what we've got in front of us. We have been disappointed, as we've shared, in some of the way of the past. Going forward, we are going to be fair, equitable and transparent. Thank you.
With that, we'll put the motion. All in favour? Those against? We'll just get the names for the division. Those in favour? Those in favour are Councillor Bishop, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Golay, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari. Those against? Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Hewlett. Thank you. So what's the next one we've got? There's no Merrill Minute. There's no notices of motion to repeal or amend resolutions. No notices of motion. Councillor Tolte has given us an urgent business without notice just before the meeting. In the list, that's next. Thank you, Councillor Elliott. Yes, Councillor Golay.
Sure, some processes here. I'm just referring to our standing orders, number 16, and it's a motion that a motion lie on the table. If I read further into it, it says to refer to point 19, where it says a councillor may only use this to seek to table a report or document that is relevant to the matter being debated, and only if the report or document came into his or her possession so recently as to make its distribution to all other councillors impractical.
I'm just not too sure what, because we're about to go through the process now.
Yeah, I'm just looking at where it says, we say notices of motion. Is that the point where I try to bring that now?
No,
I'm asking about the process of what I should be following here. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I don't know what...
The Rakow Street.
No.
Yeah, I'm looking at the point. I'm asking from a process...
Oh, you want to know now if you can...
When do I do this?
Do you want to... Did you want to let that matter lie on the table?
Yes, please.
No, when we get to it is the advice.
I'm just asking
because
I can see where it says no.
Yep, no.
Number 14, notices of motion. Is that...
No, the General Manager of Organisational Services have said when we get to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, back to number 15. And Councillor Tolte, would you like to go... Yes, Councillor Bishop.
Through you, Madam Chair, Deputy Mayor, I have a process question just in relation to urgent business without notice. How we go about addressing the urgent business checklist? At what point do we do that?
That's now. I was just going to let Councillor Tolte present her motion and then we go through the checklist. Thank you. Councillor Tolte, would you like to present your motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you want to put the motion up or first? Councillors have to know what it is before they can know whether it's urgent.
Okay, the procedure is you have to describe the motion and then we work out whether it is urgent first. And I think councillors have all...
I have given everybody an electronic copy and a printed copy. I apologise that it wasn't earlier. I only decided finally that I would definitely do this morning. Had I had all the information earlier, but prior to the Thursday 5 o'clock cut-off, then I would have moved this as a motion with notice. There are two reasons that I think this is urgent, which I'll put to you. The motion itself is I'm asking Council to resolve to investigate and provide a report with urgency with regard to the fire mitigation and risk strategies for the mainland part of Redland. I have 4 points in that. The 4 points that I'm proposing is to ask that Council proposes to provide information and support, including a clear pathway laid out in a fact sheet for private landowners to support their developing fire management plans, including but not limited to the residents' rights and responsibilities in regard to...
If I may, sorry.
Yes, sorry, Councillor Tolte. At this point of time, you're not allowed to...
How can I describe
talk
the motion?
To the motion? I'm just seeking clarification from the...
Look, not being fully familiar with the Redland history, but just reading your standing orders, we're talking about a notice, urgent notice, which all of you have seen the content of, so the councillors are aware of that. My understanding is that at the end of the day, it's a majority vote to accept it or not, and you go through this checklist to help each of you individually decide whether to support the motion or not. And it's not about supporting the policy content, it's just about firstly, supporting at the moment, the first hurdle is, are we even going to consider it today or can it wait? I think the councillors would have enough information to understand what's being proposed. You could run through the checklist. If council considers that it is urgent business, then we'll go into move, second.
I was intending to run through the checklist.
And a normal debate. Yep.
Okay.
Right, so Councillor Tolte, you read through your motion, you will then move it, we then ask for a seconder.
You'll move it as urgent business and ask for a seconder.
Okay.
Your motion is to seek that it be urgent business.
So the first motion will be that it is urgent business.
Yes, and you'll get a seconder for that. Then we go through the checklist and decide whether it is. Then if it is, we then...
Yes.
go into the motion.
Okay, so you're going to put the motion up there, or you want me to just read it all? No, it's fairly innocuous. Okay, so I do go through the motion, then I go through my...
No, your first motion is it urgent?
All right. Okay, so the motion that is up there, I would propose is urgent because council has made a decision that they don't support a mitigation and education rural fire service unit for mainland Redlands. We've been notified on, well, I became aware of a letter from the 21st of July on Friday, which proposed that the QFES would no longer...
Point of order. Are we to deal with question one? To achieve an outcome, does this matter have to be dealt with at a general meeting of council?
We're getting to that, councillor.
I'm just wondering if we're going down to the detail before we actually deal with the...
I'll let Councillor Tolte continue.
Thank you.
Therefore, I wasn't able to make a motion prior to the Thursday deadline. I received confirmation of that letter on Friday evening, which then put paid to the idea that we would move on to having a rural fire service discussion further down the track. I'm also told this morning that there are deliberations happening and reports being prepared for council that will be coming in the next week or two. And I certainly believe that this is urgent because of that, because the points that I'm asking to be covered in this motion will need to be considered as a priority in those discussions by officers and their preparation of reports back to council. This is urgent because the Redland Fire Management Review has highlighted significant shortfalls in fuel load management and mitigation, and last week Redlands experienced record hot temperatures for August. Had those temperatures combined with our usual August westerly winds, we would have been one spark away from possible disaster in Redland.
Point of order, speculation by the councillor.
The temperatures and the August winds are on record, Madam Chair.
Can you please not give your own assumptions of what might happen?
That was not my own, Madam Chair. The temperatures are recorded, and we have Operation Phoenix, which shows that in exactly those circumstances, in dry, hot August conditions with westerly winds, a fire started in Daisy Hill Forest will take less than a day to reach the Redland Bay foreshore.
Okay, Councillor Tolte, what you have to do is just read your motion.
Well, do you want me to argue for the urgency, or do you want me to argue?
Well, you have to have the motion moved in a seconder, and then we go into that. Thank you.
I move the motion as it is up there on the board.
Okay. No, we're not voting on the motion. We're just voting on the urgency at the present. Is there a seconder?
So, do you want me to move that it's urgent, or do you want me to move the motion?
Yes, that it's urgent.
Okay. Well, then I'll move that this is an urgent matter, and then I'll continue speaking to why it's urgent.
Yes, Councillor Edwards. No, we'll do that after we have the...
I was under the assumption that this was all being reviewed, part of the whole review package was just due in about 2 months. And if it's not part of that, I think it is urgent, but if it is part of that, that probably reflect.
I think that's what we speak to when we decide whether it's urgent or not, don't we? We've got to get the motion first. You can speak.
Thanks, Councillor Edwards. I mean, I've only just received it just before walking in, so we do have a report coming back to council in relation to the report that was tabled here and has been publicly made available for the last, I think, 4 weeks. That report was a report back to council in 3 months' time, which I was to bring back to the chamber to address the 56 recommendations in the report. On my quick read of this, that report will be a substantial response to the 56 recommendations, and I don't want to say we'll cover everything in here because I don't know without going and having further detailed conversations with officers, but it will certainly, there is a report due back to council inside that 3 month window, which will be fairly comprehensive in terms of the issues being raised in that fire report.
Since we're speaking to that area now, as chair of the local.
Well, I'm answering Councillor Edwards' question, which was allowed. As Chair of the Local Disaster Management Committee Recovery Group, there is a meeting next week where this is all being discussed with the various services, fire, police, etc. We're going through the actions which have already been put in place, backburning and all the other fire mitigation, including the loading in certain areas across the city. Various actions have been put in place, and then we're going forward with more, which, from what I understand, would cover this. So I do think that report myself is already in train. So that's to answer Councillor Edwards' question. Councillor Toldy has moved that we consider this as an urgent matter, and so I need a seconder for that. Councillor Golly will second that. Now we have to discuss whether it is or not and go through our checklist.
Yeah.
Okay, Councillor Tolte, can you urgency of your motion.
We've got people speculating on what may or may not be covered. I'm putting this forward because these are the points, as the representative of the areas that are at most risk, that among all of the other points, this is not limited to, says quite clearly in there, including but not limited to. These are things that I think I need to see when those reports come back. And there will be greater time delays if those reports come back and these things are not covered fully. Now, the officers are saying they're working on the reports. You're telling me there's a disaster management meeting in 2 months. I'm getting no information.
Excuse me, Councillor Toldy, I said next week, not in 2 months. And
next week. I said 2 months for the report.
Sorry, I misunderstood you. But it is both are working together.
That's fine, but the community needs assurance that that's happening. There is nothing in the public domain other than broad overarching statements that this is happening. It's Joe-esque. It's just trust us and don't ask. So I'm sorry, but we are at a point where we need to be able to say to the community we're moving on this, and it's not enough just to say we're reviewing it. Everything that I've seen, all the comments that I've seen, point to reviews and concerns and considerations for the islands. And while that's completely justified, I haven't seen anything that is making the mainland of Redland a priority in those discussions. So in light of the fact that we now know, based on the letter that was received on Friday, that the Rural Fire Service under the QFES is not proposed to go ahead unless something dramatic changes, and the comments that are in the report that show that we have significant risk across large swathes of mainland Redland, particularly around the Redlands Hospital, I would suggest that this is urgent. And if councillors think that there is nothing in here that they don't think is already covered, then why wouldn't we move this motion and reassure the community today instead of waiting?
Okay, what we're going to discuss now is the for and against for the urgency, because Councillor Toldy has put that motion. Yep, your checklist is there to help.
Do you want me to work through the checklist? Yep.
No, there's no need. Any for and againsts? For, Councillor Edwards?
Yes, in view that we're already carrying out this work to ensure that that is included as we're going forward, I don't see any additional imposts, just to make sure that is included in the work. And as it's already started, so I have no problem with saying this is urgent, just to ensure that it's included in that body of work being undertaken.
Councillor Bishop, speaker against.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To have the assurance of the CEO of this entire organisation and the support that is so deeply embedded with our emergency service personnel through our incredible officers and their ongoing collegiate, professional commitment to the health, safety, life of individuals and protection of property, and to consider that they would not assess these issues in an area that has been identified, Councillor Tolte is identifying that it is an area where there are significant fuel loads, but to assume that those officers would not take this into account is at best under-respecting their capacity. What's the point of order, if what's I may?
Yep. Clarify your point of order, please, Councillor Tolte. Oh. He's only just been given it. He hasn't.
I think that's a long bow, Councillor Tolte.
Councillor Bishop's saying.
It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you are of the view that, and forgive me for acknowledging that there is a perceived confluence of interests and as at your running for election in.
You'll please withdraw that, Councillor Bishop. I've already asked
well,
him to
I would
withdraw.
Like to. I would like to, before withdrawing that, which I will do in a moment, I will acknowledge that the interests of our citizens are of utmost importance, and the survivability of our citizens to officers, to councillors, to every single person in this city. And I know as a local councillor you have interests in your residents and you advocate for those very strongly, but I think the consistent view of council is that the rights and responsibility of safety of residents in that area will be addressed through the professional process. I do not see a reason for this being urgent or without notice and done again as a part of a continued attempt to have this occur through a process that is not through the official channels. And I will withdraw that comment about Councillor Tolte having a...
Thank you, Councillor.
I think that
Bishop.
The officers are going to be looking at all of the issues associated with that area, and not the least of which will be those points that are raised in this report, which is far more comprehensive than anything done in an urgent business without notice.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Speaker 4, Councillor Golly.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Shock and awe, I know. I'm really trying to remove myself from the politics of this. I don't see any harm in actually having these particular points, just briefly reading them now, brought into some sort of a report on ongoing works. I really want to clarify that, yes, the QFES has said that there's enough services around to provide the Redlands, but I'd really like to know what the structure is for the residents, whether it's rural or local. Who can they physically call upon? Because I'm a little confused. Council, does council go out and do the education?
At the moment, we're just voting on whether it's urgent or not. Not the actual motion.
Oh, I'm sorry, because everyone was having a rant. I thought I could too.
It's about the urgency at the moment.
Well,
the checklist is here.
I'll support it.
You've got your checklist in your notes.
Yep.
And that's what you're voting on at the moment, whether it's that urgent. Speaker against, Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Chair. This is about, is it urgent? Not the report. And it's not. Within 10 minutes of this meeting closing, we'll have a Mayor Councillor workshop. But Councillor Telty can raise that. It will be discussed by Council. We consider it's goer. I don't have a problem. Councillor, that's it. It's as simple as that. This is so urgent. I got this piece of paper at 9 o'clock this morning. This is so urgent. The hospital word was never mentioned anywhere in the discussion. The fire brigade, just for the community, the fire brigade have assured us. We saw the numbers on the board. They can get to Mount Cotton. They can hose it down. They can have three tenders and 10 minutes.
How is that relevant?
40. Well, this is the 10th time, Councillor, you've tried to pull this on. And I don't mind.
Excuse me, Councillor Tolte.
Point of order, this has nothing to do with the urgency either, can I just add? And if the Councillor wants to prosecute the
councillors,
fire brigade...
Councillors, the point of order has been called. I will ask both of you to be quiet, please. And again, can I remind councillors of the privilege we've got of being a community representative and to respect the chambers? Councillor Tolte has called a point of order. Councillor Elliott on... the appropriateness of your discussion towards the urgency of the motion, so I'm just asking you to please keep to the urgency of it.
The urgency is in 10 minutes' time, we could discuss this. We do not have to do this now. As I said, this was so urgent, I got this at 9 o'clock. I didn't get it when the wind suddenly jumped to 35 kilometres an hour everywhere. I have in my heart that the fire brigade can attend to any incident in this city. The urgency is not needed. We can discuss this. If it was so important, you can have a meeting straight after this. I don't care if there's a mayor council meeting or not a council meeting. I would think if it was urgent. This is not urgent in this chamber at this time.
Thank you. Is there a speaker for the urgency? Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Chair. Look, I don't know why we've got anything to hide. There is a report being done that's going to be brought back to us in a couple of months' time. Councillor Tolt is really just ensuring that these are answered within that report, as Councillor Edwards said before, you know, by refusing this just doesn't make sense. I mean, we can wait until the community are out of the room and talk about it behind closed doors, but then we've only got to wait.
Councillor Gleeson, I'm going to call a point of order on that.
Oh, what's your point of order?
What are we talking about behind closed doors?
Oh,
we have given
his motion. As Councillor Elliott mentioned, we could wait until after the meeting and discuss it with the Mayor Councillor without the Mayor in the room.
Councillor Elliott was pointing out the correct another procedure that could have been done. One of the questions, Councillor Gleeson, is does this have to be, which one is it? Does this matter require a decision that in a general meeting? Number one, to achieve an outcome, does this matter have to be dealt with at a general meeting of council? And that is the point that Councillor Elliott was talking at.
If we
can you please keep to the list as well?
Okay, well, if we decide to not accept this today, all that's going to happen is we'll come back in 2 weeks' time and the report will be 2 weeks further along and it'll only be 6 weeks to go down. There's nothing to hide in bringing this and supporting this today. We're only going to do it in 2 weeks' time, if not. It's crazy. I don't know what people are hiding from.
Okay, speaker against. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. And personally to probably the CEO, when we look at the first point, to achieve an outcome, does this matter have to be dealt with at a general meeting of council? Could this, and that's my thoughts are that this could have gone straight through and asked to be included in the report. To come to a general meeting as a motion, I don't quite understand why that would have been done when we could have just asked for it to be through. Sir, to the CEO, could not this have just come through to you to be included in your report?
Councillor Tolte, the CEO is going to answer.
Thanks, Councillor Hughes. The current motion on the fire report is for me to bring back a response to the 56 recommendations. This could be another, they're not quite recommendations, but they're other points of investigation, some of which will be covered, I think, in the 56. This could be added to that 56 and come back to, and I guess the motion could be that we include in that report back to council these points in the report.
Question, Councillor Elliott?
So it'll be still 2 months before we get the report?
Yes, Councillor. Well, Councillor Elliott, the report to council was for in 3 months' time.
Thank you. So this will be 2 months' time, so it's not really urgent. Thank you.
What were we? No, Councillor Gleeson. Yes, Councillor Gleeson, what is your point of order?
Well, just point out the officers that are doing the report need lead-in time to get the investigative work done. They can't just be expected to have minimal time.
So what was your point of order?
Well, the officers need lead-in time to be able to get the responses from the motion.
I don't think that's a point of order because, as Councillor Elliott said, it could be brought to the... He's at the back. What were we up to? Against or for? Against? Okay, someone's speaking against. Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Look.
Well, that's what I asked. So we're up to
no
four.
No one's to speak for it.
For GEVS, Councillor Mitchell.
Yes, well, I'd certainly cautious all of us to be very, very careful in bringing forward urgent business without notice. I'll, in this case, just to ensure that all these points are covered in the report. I don't believe there'll be anything extra onerous, so it's what I'm told, but to move it along and to get it properly captured, I'll support this motion today.
Is there a speaker against? Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know how many times we've got to keep regurgitating this topic. If Councillor Telty had decided to go into the CEO's office and said, Mr Chesterman, I would like this included in the report, I'm sure he would have said yes. There is nothing urgent about bringing this to a general meeting that is required. Councillor Telty is using this as a political football, which is
Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hewlett,
social media
Councillor
for
Hewlett, a point of order has been... Councillor Hewlett, a point of order has been called. A point of order has... Point of order has been called. Thank you. Councillor Gleeson, what is your point of order?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Councillor Tolte can't direct the CEO to do anything in particular. You can break words.
If you said, Councillor Gleeson, if you said direct, can you please refrain?
Everything that we had in the budget we're not happy with, we'd be here forever having urgent motions brought
okay.
forward.
Thank
Councillor Telty is being unfair to her colleagues doing this continually.
Thank you, Councillor Hewlett. Councillor Hewlett. Councillor Hewlett.
She's never, ever
stopped. And I would ask that they
just be withdrawn. Just because the fire brigade agree with her,
please. Councillor Hewlett. Councillor Hewlett, please withdraw that comment. Withdraw that comment.
Withdrawn.
Thank you. Councillors, can I just please, I think it's the third time I've had to say it today, and it's really disappointing. Like, this is a privilege to be in this room, and I mean that. And the respect that we should give the chambers, plus each other in this room. I'm not going to repeat the whole sermon.
Can I raise a point of order and ask Councillor Hewlett to remove his last comment?
He did. He did. Thank you. He's already done it. Thank you. Councillor Golay, is this a comment? Question?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Still learning the ropes on these procedures here. Is now the time, or is to let it lie on the table so that we can speak about this offline and actually... workshop it if need be.
No. The motion at the moment is it urgent business or not? And I think we'll just put it and we'll get it to the vote. Thank you.
Okay. So the checklist says, does this achieve an outcome that needs to be dealt with at a general meeting? Yes, it does. I cannot direct officers. I cannot ask and then hope that officers will conclude these things. I'm asking for councillors to support these things being covered in a report back to council. I would have preferred it in a much more timely fashion than in 2 to 3 months, but if that's what's required, that's why I didn't put a time frame in, because I didn't want to add pressure to the officers. The fact is we were already past being able to apply any of it until next fire season anyway. Is this a matter? Does this require a decision of council? Yes, I can't just wander into the CEO's office and ask him to do these things. I have to have the backing of council in order to do it. Can the matter
point
be placed...
Of order.
Your point of order, Councillor Hewlett.
You've certainly asked the CEO. I've asked the CEO many, many times to do things for me, and he has done them for me. So to say that she can't do that is incorrect.
Okay. The checklist is on the board at the moment for all councillors and the gallery to have a look at. Councillor Tolte is saying her view on whether these are yes or no. You can all make up your own minds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is it in the public interest to raise this matter at a meeting? Yes, I believe it is absolutely in the public interest to raise this matter in a meeting, and I want it done as urgently as possible because the community is out there wondering what we are doing for them.
Point of order, Chair. We've missed one. Can the matter wait to be placed on the agenda of the next council meeting with the next item?
I have addressed the fact that the officers are moving on reports now. The disaster management meeting is next week, before the next agenda meeting, and I would like these things in the forefront of people's minds when they are discussing these reports. Therefore, I believe it's urgent today. Can the matter be dealt with administratively? Well, we've all heard that the fire report is being dealt with administratively and a report is coming back. But I am asking to move this motion today because I would like surety that these things will be included in that. If the matter relates to a request for information, has the request been made to the CEO or the General Manager? Well, that's answered in the previous comment. So I would like you to please support this going through today. It could have been a simple 1, 2, 3 and no big deal, but everybody had to make a drama out of it.
Okay, we're putting the urgency only of the motion now. All in favour of the urgency? Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Golay, Councillor Mitchell, those not in favour of the urgency. Councillor Bishop, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett. What did I say? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Boglari. So what's that? I don't believe it is urgent. So the motion is lost. Next item, we're going into...
Can we list that on the Mayor Councillor meeting straight after?
Certainly.
Thank you.
And I had asked the disaster management officers to be in here, and they might be able to stay and address it, so the understanding is there. Going into closed session, can I have a mover for going into closed session? If councillors are happy not to move into closed session, or were there questions? Well, I'm just asking. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Yes, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. We have had an email come through while we've been here in this general meeting, and I know that Councillor Golay did want to speak to that, so I'm not sure, can we do that without going into...
Go into close, yes, because I haven't seen that email at all. Can I have a mover to go into closed session, please? Move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Golay. All in favour of going into closed? All in favour of going into closed? All in favour except for Councillor Elliott. Yep. Okay, thank you. If we could ask the gallery to please vacate while we discuss this one, thank you, except for relevant. The officer to... Anyone out there, Alan? No, thank you. We just wait for the video to go back on, please, councillors. Then I'll ask for a mover of 16.1.1. We right? Right to go. Can I have a mover, please?
Move the officer's recommendation with the amendments that have been given to us.
Okay, second. Councillor Edwards, all those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Golay, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari. Those against? Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Hewlett. Got that one? Right. Okay, meeting closed, 11:42. Thank you, councillors. Thank you. Office.